I want to look this morning at the danger of hypocrisy. Luke chapter 12 and verse 1-5. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light. And what you have spoken in the ear, in inner rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. And I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. One of the greatest dangers that you and I face in our Christian life is that of falling into religious hypocrisy, of going through the motions of being a Christian, of just putting on the outward show. And I'm sure in our Christian life at one time or other, we're all guilty of going through the motions, of falling into that religious mode. But Jesus warns us here about the dangers of it, the danger of hypocrisy. You see, the Christian life is about a living relationship, isn't it, with God? That is the very heart of the Christian life, is you and I knowing God. We didn't become Christians just to become religious, just to put on an outward show or go to church just because we wanted this bit of religion to appease our conscience, which I'm sure is a motive of many who do attend churches throughout this land. But that shouldn't be the case, should it? We became Christians because we had a real encounter with the living God. Because God intervened in our lives. God shook us up. He turned us around from that path of destruction that we were on, that road to destruction. And we met the creator of the universe. And we experienced his love, his mercy and grace in our lives. He cleansed us from the inside out. He made us new people. He gave us eternal life and hope. That's why we got into this, isn't it? Not to become religious, not just to be seen to be doing good or just to appease our conscience, but because we had a real experience of the living God. The problem for you and I is the Christian life. We're in this for the long haul, aren't we? Sometimes I wish I'd been raptured on the day I got saved. That we didn't have to face all the troubles and the struggles and the pain of this life. Wouldn't that be great? Yeah. If you could go straight to heaven on the day you turn to Jesus. And sometimes I envy the thief on the cross. He was going to paradise that day, wasn't he? But you know what? God's ways aren't our ways. He has a plan for our life. He wants to work out his will in our lives. He has a destiny for every one of us here today. And we are here for the long term. The problem we face in this life is we can get worn down. We can get discouraged. We do face difficulties, don't we, in life? We do face troubles. And the danger is for you and I is losing sight of God in the circumstances that we face. And it can easily happen. You know, I'm sure we've all known Christians over the years who we know have lost sight of God, who've been diverted from God's will and purpose for their lives, or just become merely religious, going through the motions, taking their eyes off the Lord and got caught up in their own plans and circumstances. And the Bible warns us, doesn't it, not to forget the Lord who saved us. You see, God wants to change our lives from the inside out. It's in the heart where God changes our lives, isn't it? He's not really so much interested in the outward show, is he? But he's interested in the inner change. In Psalm 51 and verse 16, it says, "For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You see, God looks at the heart. God wants a heart that is open to him. As Simone was praying before, God looks at the heart. God is after the inner man. And that's why religious hypocrisy grieves God so much, because it's the very opposite of what he intended for us. God doesn't want an outward show of religion. He doesn't care for our big buildings, our big Bibles, our eloquent sermons, our smart suits, or our plastic smiles. What he wants is the real us, the real hearts that are open to him, that are willing to change, that are willing to humble themselves before him and turn from our evil ways, turn from our selfishness. Hearts that will cry out to him in the time of trouble. Hearts that will pray to him, that will praise him, that will seek him, that will worship him is what God wants. He wants the real us, the man on the inside, not the pretense that we often portray on the outside. It's easy, isn't it, to become religious? Easy to walk in our own strength, to rely on our own ability, to do our mere duty. And yet we can miss out on the reality of that living relationship with God that we profess to serve. Too often, you and I, we're slow on the uptake. We have to learn the hard way in life many times. Why do our lives have to be crumbling around us before we start calling on God for help? Why don't we learn the lesson before that and call upon him before the trouble starts? And when it does, then we'll be prepared for it, won't we? Too often we wait till things get too hard before we ask God for help. We need to be relying on God every day when everything's even running smoothly and well. That's probably the time we're more likely to forget God, isn't it? But it, you know, rather than just wait until things get too hard. The danger for you and I of neglecting our heart relationship with God is probably the most serious danger we face in our lives. Keeping our heart right with God is the biggest challenge in life, isn't it? You know, our worry isn't so much whether we get martyred or beaten or betrayed for our faith or rejected by men or persecution. Our worry is keeping our hearts right with God. Because if we can do that, then everything else in life, in comparison, is a piece of cake, isn't it? You know, if our hearts are right with God, then who cares if we get sawn into? Or if the people at work don't like us, as long as we have our knowledge of God's grace in our lives and our inner life right, then the outward will follow. The Bible says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. And I think a healthy fear of God is wanting to please God in all that we do, all that we think, all that we say, and not wanting to offend him in anything. And if that's our priority, then who cares what men may say about us or do to us? It's because pleasing God is all that really matters, isn't it? Jesus said, didn't he, in that scripture, "My friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him." You see, the danger of not fearing God is that we can fall into religious mode. And this is where the Pharisees went wrong, because they were only concerned with the outward appearance of religion, outward obedience. Jesus described them as whitewashed gravestones who outwardly appear righteous, but inwardly they're just full of dead men's bones like a grave. You know, they had all the outward show of being devout and being religious. They prayed aloud. They wore the long garments. They had the uppermost seats in the synagogue. But he says inwardly, they were full of hypocrisy and deceit. They were rotten to the core. They kept the letter of the law outwardly, but not the spirit. Do you remember when Jesus described the Pharisee and the publican praying? And it says that the Pharisee prayed to himself. He boasted of how religious he was, not like other men. But the publican, he cried out from an honest heart, to God saying, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the publican was the one who went away justified before God, not the Pharisee. God, you see, is more concerned of what's going on the inside of a man than the outside. Men are obsessed with outward appearance, in looking good before other men, in putting on a show of religion. And the Christian world is full of it, isn't it? Outward religion, hype, programs, religious imagery, glorious buildings. But God's looking at the heart. God wants a people who'll serve him from the heart. And religion can be very deceiving. People can look good outwardly. They can have all the right words, Christian cliches, go to church, fast, pray, but inwardly, not serving God. What God wants is a heart change, an inner change. It has to start in you and I with repentance, with honesty. That's a heart that's honest before God, not trying to cover up our sins or hide the reality of what's there. The publican, wasn't he? He was honest with God, wasn't he? He wasn't trying to pretend or cover up his sin or his faults. He was very aware of them. And he said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He wasn't putting on a self-righteous pretense before God like the Pharisee was. And we have to face up to where we're at. Examine ourselves, it says in the Bible, doesn't it? Be willing to humble ourselves before God. Be willing to change. Be willing to turn away from sin and turn towards God. To rend our hearts and not just our garments, as it tells us in Scripture. You know, rending the garments in the Old Testament, that was an outward show, wasn't it, of what should have been an inward repentance. Or just like circumcision was an outward symbol of something that should have changed in the heart. And in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, it speaks about them being pricked to the heart. Because that's where it begins, doesn't it? Conviction of sin. An honest heart that will yield to conviction and repent and begin that inward change that God wants. And then we can be cleansed and forgiven and healed. That's what the gospel is about, isn't it? About an inward change, being born again of the Spirit, being spiritually made alive. Because it's the inner man God's concerned about this morning, not the show of religion. The Bible speaks about those that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. In other words, outwardly religious, but not allowing God to change them. Not allowing His Spirit to work in their lives. The problem with religion is that it's chiefly concerned with pleasing men, of appearing outwardly like you have it all together. It's concerned with fitting in, of looking good in public, but in reality, behind the scenes, it's a life that's ruled by self and not by God. It's a double act, isn't it? A duplicit life. It's a pretense. It's often motivated by pride, religious pride. And, you know, we can all fall into it if we're not careful. Jesus described it as being like leaven or yeast. You know, when you put yeast in dough, it spreads, doesn't it? And it grows throughout the whole lump of the dough, causes it to rise. It can creep into our lives, hardly noticed, but it can grow and it can spread like a cancer. And if we're not watchful, we can just become religious. And we're not exempt from that, you know. When we read in the book of Acts, the book of Galatians, Peter falling into hypocrisy. Galatians 2 and 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. It says there, even Barnabas was carried away with the hypocrisy with Peter. And Paul had to rebuke Peter to his face because he was showing partiality to the Jewish brethren. He wouldn't eat with the Gentiles. He'd fallen into putting on a show to please men out of fear of man, which is what religion really is, isn't it? You know, and believe you me this morning, if a man of faith like Peter can fall in, and Barnabas, then so can you and I. We have to be watchful over our lives. Check ourselves. It tells us in Scripture to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. We have to test ourselves, check ourselves daily. Have we allowed some leaven to permeate our lives? Is there an area in our lives where we're living a lie, or we're being, or are we being true to God and to ourselves? The human heart is a strange thing. It's a fickle thing, isn't it? It can easily be led astray. It's vulnerable to deception and to lies, and the only way we're going to preserve it is by keeping a constant check on it, guarding it with all our heart. You know, the Bible says, guard it with all diligence, because out of the heart flow the issues of life. Problem for you and I is that life often gets into a rut, doesn't it? And nothing seems to be changing in our lives. It's just the same old boring routine, week in, week out. We can stagnate spiritually. We can fall into just going through the motions, not just in our relationship with God, but also in our relationship with our wives or husbands, children, friends and family, workmates, brothers and sisters. We can close off our heart. We can stop being real. Relationship with God is really like a marriage, isn't it? It's an intimate relationship. It's a heart relationship. It's something that we have to maintain and nurture, or it'll just die. Jesus said, didn't he, abide in me and let my words abide in you. That relationship has to be kept alive, as it is in any marriage, to flourish. God has saved us this morning for relationship. He is our Heavenly Father. We are his children. We are the bride of Christ. We are his brethren, adopted into his family. We call our Father, Abba, Father. It's a relationship, isn't it? Without that living relationship, all we have is just another system of religion, another stone building. Paul said that his desire was to know God and the power of his resurrection. And he considered everything else but dung. Paul had had his fill of religion. Philippians 3 and 4, he says, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So Paul describes there his former religious life as the flesh. Confidence in the flesh. His own abilities, his own efforts, his own outward show of religion. Paul knew that real spirituality only came from Christ through faith. He basically said that outward religion is just dung in comparison. It was probably a stronger word than that. To have a real living relationship with Christ is what it's really about. Jesus said, didn't he, let the dead bury the dead, come follow me. The dead bury the dead. Religion is just dead men's bones. We need the life of Christ. We need the river of life flowing out of us and through us and in us. Living Christianity, filled with the Holy Ghost. Seeing the power of God change us and those around us. Hearing from God, being in his presence, being refreshed and filled and alive, our hearts singing for joy in his presence. We don't need religion. If all that we've got is religion, then we've lost sight of God. We've wandered off the path. we've got diverted along the way. We've forgotten the Lord who saved us. We need to keep to the path, don't we? Keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep our hearts open to him. Listen to and obey his voice. Then we can have that abundant life. Jesus warned us, didn't he, the danger of religion, of hypocrisy, of the leaven of the Pharisees. It's easy to fall into double standards. Saying one thing, doing another. Appearing outwardly religious and pious, but inwardly deceitful, hardened and a fraud in reality. Romans 12:9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. Hypocrisy is the opposite, isn't it, of integrity. It is guile, it is deceit, it is duplicity, and it can creep into our lives. A little compromise here, a little compromise there, and then we begin to cover up, we begin to hide our real self, and we play that let's pretend game. But we don't fool anyone, do we, really? Least of all God. God sees the heart. He can't be deceived. He knows all things about us. But we can honour him with our lips, but as Jesus warned us, but our hearts can be far from him. We can have that form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Our heart, as we said, needs to be guarded, because we can all be prone to that hypocrisy. We mustn't think that real Christians can't fall into hypocrisy, because clearly they can. Peter and Barnabas weren't just nominal believers. They were born again, spirit-filled believers, and yet even they fell into hypocrisy. Satan wants to gain a foothold in our heart. He wants us to compromise our integrity. He wants us to divide our heart. He wants to entrap us into sin and then into hypocrisy. The Bible says we have to eschew evil. What does that word mean? Literally spit it out and cling to that which is good. The only way we can do this is by letting God search our heart and abiding in Christ, by maintaining that repentance daily. And if we've fallen into hypocrisy, there is some good news. We can be restored again. But we have to come clean with God. The scripture says we have to break up the fallow ground. We have to rend our heart, not our garments. Because it says a humble and contrite heart God will not despise. But the danger of religion is it hardens our heart. Hebrews 4:7 says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. And in verse 13 he says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. We must give account. All things are naked and open to the eyes. God sees it all. He knows everything about us, all our secrets. The only way we're going to enter heaven is by being honest with him and letting him cleanse us and change us. God sees us when nobody else is watching. He knows the real you and I. We can't pretend. And we need to keep our hearts laid bare before him, don't we, this morning? Heed his correction and his rebukes. Let him change the inner man. We can pretend with men, but we can't pretend with God. God wants a people with integrity, in whose spirit there is no guile, who love him from a sincere heart. But we can only be that people through Christ, by allowing his spirit to have full reign in us. Integrity and sincerity is a precious thing, isn't it? It's a precious commodity and a rare commodity. But we need to pursue it and guard our hearts, and then we'll be preserved if we do, won't we?
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray this morning.